Oh, Wiersbe, I like what he said about that passage. He says, those pastors, they have a message worth remembering. They have a lifestyle worth considering. They have a faith worth imitating. And I add to that, and they have a love that should be modeled. For faith worketh by love.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Friday and welcome. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, When the Chief Shepherd Appears, as his study in the New Testament epistle of 1 Peter continues.
I am shocked that he called me, forever humbled, that he gifted me to do this, to share all these over 40 years, God's eternal living word. I'm blessed to do that. Paul the Apostle, one scripture that I go to when I feel down that I read often, is 1 Timothy 1:12, where Paul the Apostle says, I thank Jesus Christ who has enabled me. And that's what happens. You can't do ministry yourself. You have to be enabled to do it. Amen? Who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Man, that's a huge statement. God, you mean you trust me with your sheep? I'm telling you, that is major, loved one. And he goes on, and I was a blasphemer. I was an insolent man. I mean, that word means I was an angry, angry person. But he says, I obtained mercy from the Lord. And so did I, and so did you. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful thing. See, when we serve the Lord, we have to be a certain way, not just the pastor, but the sheep too. Paul, before his death, the last epistle he wrote, 2 Timothy 2:24, remember Paul in the Mamertine prison, he wrote that he was beheaded there in Rome. He writes, he says, a servant, that word is doulos, a slave of God, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Be gentle to all, able to teach, talking about the pastor, and then he uses a word that's only found in the New Testament, and it's in the Greek, of course, but it's the word patient, and that word means to bear evil treatment without resistance from others, the sheep, and be patient. That's a big word, isn't it? You know, it says be gentle to all, don't quarrel. It's wrong when a pastor wants to punch out the sheep. That doesn't go over well with God, okay? It says to be gentle with all. You know, I told the first service, and I'll say it to you as well, I have failed in many, many areas over the years growing into being a pastor. But one area that I know I haven't is this one verse that I just read to you where it says to be patient, ready to bear evil treatment without resentment from others, meaning those in the church. I can honestly say before God, and he knows this, my wife knows this, my son knows this, and those who are with me and know me know this. Through all of those years, I have never, never treated those like the way they treated me. No matter what they did, I walked in love and told them I loved them and sent them away in love, even if they lied, no matter what they did. You know why? Because that scripture behind me, scripture on the first day that this church was planted, the first morning out from our home to the building, the Lord spoke that verse to my wife and myself. And when he did, he said, that's the scripture you'll build this church on. Love never fails. It doesn't always win, but it never fails. It never fails. And we are to love people. Amen. And then he says, look at it in verse 3 again, there in the second part, another contrast. He says, but being what? Say it with me. Examples. One more time. Being examples, meaning a living model, a living example or pattern for the sheep to follow. Man, that's tough. It says, being examples to the flock. Every pastor, no matter who you are an example to the sheep. whether you want to be an example or whether you're not. You are still the example. Amen? There's no way around it. You stand before the people. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 25, Jesus called the disciples to himself. He said, listen, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And those who are great, well, they exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as, now Jesus, our example, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus became what we are that he might make us what he is. Amen? And this is not just for pastors. That's for all Christians. Listen, Ephesians 5:1, we are all to be imitators of God as dear children. Amen? We belong to him. Now, listen, sheep in the Old Testament, were they sacrificed? Okay, sheep in the New Testament, are they sacrificed? No, but they are what? Living sacrifices. Remember Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? That's who you are, where you present your entire being, your body, to the Lord, your faculties, all that you are, to the Lord. It says, which is your reasonable service, your reasonable worship, loved one. That's what we do. So the pastor, if he's an example, he does something. It's called servant leadership, not leadership, but servant leadership. Everyone on staff at Calvary, they're called servant leaders, okay? Because we're all servants to lead. But the pastor does something. And so does all of us. You should always do this. The pastor then and today should always point all the sheep to Jesus Christ, amen? And to no one else, never to himself. And pastors, if you're going to be an example, you have to practice what you preach. If you say, that a believer should tithe or give, some Christians don't believe in the tithe. I don't know if you don't believe in the tithe, but if you don't believe in the tithe, how much should you give? You shouldn't give less than the old covenant, right? That excited you, didn't it? If a pastor tells you to give, support the work of the Lord, and teaches that, but he doesn't give, is that bad? That's a bad example. Amen? That's right. If he tells you that you should have a morning prayer time, but he doesn't have a prayer time, that's a bad example, isn't it? Amen. So yeah, that's what he's saying here. But listen, the number one thing that every pastor should model, the number one is one of the foundational scriptures of this fellowship besides 1 Corinthians 13:8 behind me. And that is the new commandment that Jesus gave in the upper room in John chapter 13, 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, talking to the disciples, hours before his death. He says, a new commandment I give unto you that ye love one another. Now that wasn't the new part. That you love one another. And then he says, as I have loved you. To the same degree that I've loved you, now you love one another. That's the new part. And then he says, by this, all will know that you belong to me. All of you are my disciples. Now that should be modeled. Listen, the majority of pastors, can you imagine every day you're losing sheep back then? The suffering, the persecution. I mean, wouldn't you think if you were a pastor then that you might be going, God, I know your promises, and Peter, I know what you've said, but surely the Holy Spirit's going to lead us out of this. But it had already been warned that persecution was coming. Jesus already said, you're going to be hated for my name's sake. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But can you imagine burying children? You see what they went through? Can you imagine seeing your wife butchered and hung on a cross or whatnot? I mean, do you think the pastors then said, I'm failing? They were human. Okay. Do you think that pastors during COVID may have said, oh God, what do I do? Yes. And pastors quit. They quit. And I'm not beating them up for that. I'm just saying it took a toll on them. You see, we have to look at this in context, loved one. You know, I go to a pastor's conference and sometimes the pastors that know me, we sit with each other and they go, Bill, I just don't think I'm cutting it in my church. I think I'm failing. And I understand exactly what they're saying. Every pastor does. And so the majority of the time, I mean, I can assure you that 99% of pastors, after we leave a Sunday service and we go home, and then the next morning when we wake up, you know what the word that enters most pastors' mind? Run, Forrest, run. No. Resign. You didn't cut it. They didn't get it. You're not doing a good job. The devil tries to beat you to death. Listen, look at how many pastors are resigning now. Big pastors. I mean, prominent. Dear Lord, you know, listen, can you tell me one person in the Bible besides our Lord that didn't sin? Did Peter sin? Yes. Did Noah sin? Yes. Did Adam and Eve sin? Hello? Yeah. Did Peter sin? Yes. Did John, the sons of thunder, John and all, they sinned? Yes. Historian James Fraud said this, "The worth of a man must be measured by his life, not his failure." We've all failed. Amen. Being examples to the flock, Peter said. Can you imagine? That's why you have to have a strong leader when you see the saints of God dying. And you have to be there and you've got to be with them. Oh, and how God must empower them at that moment. Loved one, it says, for to be examples, it says in Hebrews 13:7, remember those who rule over you. Again, that word means to lead, to pastor you. Remember their love. Remember when they married you. Remember when they baptized your children or whatever, the wedding or whatever. Remember them who were there for you in the hospital when you died. And I've been with many with the families. Remember them who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God, not his personal opinion, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow or whose faith imitate, considering the outcome of their conduct. Oh, Wiersbe, I like what he said about that passage. He says, those pastors, they have a message worth remembering. They have a lifestyle worth considering. They have a faith worth imitating. And I add to that, and they have a love that should be modeled. For faith worketh by love. It says to imitate their faith because they believe God's word. They trust God's word. It doesn't say to imitate their personality or their mannerisms. It doesn't say any of those things at all. No sheep should ever build his or her life on any servant of God. Amen? Never. There's only one you build your life on, and he is our example, the perfect example, and his name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? And you know why every pastor and every sheep should always point others to Jesus Christ? Because he never changes. Hebrews 13:8, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And look what he says now, verse 4. And when, not if, and when the chief shepherd appears. Now, is that the rapture? Is that the second coming? It's a divided, I hold the rapture, but it could be the second coming. But I believe it's the rapture. It says, and when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, when the chief shepherd appears, you, he's talking to the pastors that are in suffering with their sheep in the churches. You're going to receive something. He says, the crown of glory that does not fade away. Oh, when the chief shepherd appears, he's going to finish what his under shepherds could never finish. Amen. It says in 1 John 3:2, it says, beloved, now we're the children of God, and has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know when he is revealed, when he appears, we shall be like him. That's going to be a great day, for we shall see him as he is. Hebrews 9:28, Jesus Christ, he offered once to bear the sins of many to those, that's us, to those who eagerly wait for him. He will appear a second time apart from sin. And it says, for salvation. That's our glorification. That's forever free from the presence of sin, the power of sin, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And when the chief shepherd appears. The word chief is found only here in the New Testament. It means number one. It means the head. He's the head of the church. Amen. Every pastor is nothing more than an under shepherd, and he works only for the chief shepherd, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when he appears, every pastor, then, from then until to this moment, we will all stand before him at the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an account to him. Did you love my sheep? Did you feed my sheep? Were you in it to try to gain for your own self? Were you trying to draw disciples after yourself or for me? Did you take care of them? Did you watch over the flock that I laid down my life for? I want to be able to say yes on that day, and I hope that I'm able to do so. Because he knows every heart. He knows every motive in everyone's heart. And y'all will stand there too. Amen? We'll all each give an account. But here's what I want you to see. Maybe you're listening live right now or on the radio, whatever, and you're a pastor. and you're beat down, or you want to be a pastor, I want you to look at the pastor's reward. Now, but I want you to look at it as in context. In context meaning the pastors then, of course it's today as well, but those who were shepherding the church through one of the worst times in history, Nero's persecution of the Christians, the suffering, the martyrdom, and all of that. I want you to look there at the pastor's reward for taking care of the sheep. He says, you will receive the Stephanos, the crown. It's the victor's crown. It's not diadem. That belongs to Jesus. This is a Stephaneos or Stephanos that does not fade away. Does not fade away is one word in the Greek, and it's only found here in the New Testament. Now, what is that crown of glory? I don't know. He didn't tell us everything about it. It's just going to be a crown of glory that's not going to fade away, and that's good enough for me. Amen. But it's not going to be, crowns are just not only for pastors. They're for sheep. Amen. All believers who are faithful to the Lord and whatever he's given on you to do and you're faithful, there's a reward coming. Let me give you a list of crowns in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, the soul winner's crown. 2 Timothy 4:8, crown of righteousness. 1 Corinthians 9:25, the imperishable crown. James 1:12, the crown of life. And then Jesus speaking again in Revelation 2:10, he said this, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. Now, I want you to look one more time at the pastor's reward, and I want you to key in on one word, and that word is receive, okay? Look at it. Now, it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you, talking about the pastors then, the overseers, the presbyteros, all the rest of them, you will komiso. That's what that word receive in the Greek, komiso. And that word is a special word. It means compensation. Interesting. You will be compensated. And what is that compensation? The crown of glory that does not fade away. Listen, that compensation, that means on this planet, if you're a pastor, listen to me, you're never going to be compensated here. Do you understand? You're not going to be loved. You're just going to have problems because you're a pastor. But man, would you get and stand before the chief shepherd. Oh, the compensation that you're going to get in heaven. Did you know it is never, no, never, no, never going to fade away for all eternity, whatever the crown of glory is? Listen, you got to get this part. Let me just talk about pastors before I talk about sheep. Did any of those pastors or any pastor today, did we earn any of that? No. Think about that. We didn't earn any of it. Did we even deserve it? The crowns that you're going to get, do you deserve it? No. Listen, did you choose God or did God choose you? God chose you. He chose you before the world was ever made. He chose you in Christ, in him, before the first fish ever flopped in the ocean because there was no ocean. Do you understand me? He called you before time was. Oh, not only that, did he forgave you, he cleansed you, he adopted you, he sealed you with the Holy Spirit. He gifted you with the gifts that you have. You didn't earn it. They're supernatural. They come from heaven. And then for the pastor, he says, I'm going to give you all these gifts, everything that you need, and I'm going to entrust my sheep to you. But only after I've given you everything you need because you can't do it. Did I deserve it? No. Did I earn it? Absolutely not. Listen, there's only one person that deserves the praise, and that is the one Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, listen, the crowns that we received, you know what we're going to do with those crowns? Listen, let me give you a picture in heaven. The 24 elders representing the church, let me give you this in Revelation 4:9. It says, whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to Jesus, who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, they fall down on their faces. Finally, the church is on their faces before God, all the church. Amen? Oh, man. He says, behold, I'm excited. Now, the 24 elders, they fall down before him, sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. And here's what they do. And they cast their crowns before the throne. And that's exactly what you're going to do, all of us, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Oh, what a day that is going to be when the chief shepherd appears. Listen, when imperfect pastors, who pastor imperfectly, perfect sheep stand before the perfect shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a day that is going to be. And you know what? We're going to be changed. We're going to be like him. But there's someone who wants to take your crown before you get there. It says in Revelation 3:11, behold, Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming suddenly, unexpectedly. You don't know the hour. It could come today. And then he says, hold fast. Say that with me. Hold fast. That word implies if there is something that is of a precious possession, you will hold it as tight as you can. Jesus said, hold fast what you have. Now, they're not in heaven. What do they have? They have the truth that sets people free. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth will set you free. Jesus said, we have the truth that gets somebody to heaven. Amen? John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have something precious. And then he says, Jesus said, he says, hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown. Now, the devil wants your crown, but there's someone else that wants your crown in our generation, loved one. And that crown is not speaking of salvation. Okay, I've already told you what that crown, what we're holding tightly is the good news of Christ Jesus. I want you to listen to me now. The moral compass of our nation that you love and I love, the moral compass of our nation is gone. And I don't say that with joy, but with hurt. And you know what our government is doing and what our government wants, and I'm not being political because I don't do politics from the pulpit. Our government wants you to do something. It wants American citizens to cast their crown at their feet. The church, listen to me now, the church does not worship the Democratic Party. The Church of Jesus Christ doesn't worship the Republican Party. We have the privilege of praying for them. Amen. And God's ear is open to the righteous. I don't know if it's open to Washington, okay? You know that and I know that. Now listen to me. I'm going to say something not to depress you. I said this last Sunday and I'm going to repeat what I said last Sunday to you right now. We live in a country I love, you love, a government that we love, a government that will redefine marriage, a government that will endorse and support same-sex marriage. A government that will redefine what is a boy and what is a little girl will do their absolute best to redefine the American church. Now here's the word for 2025. I am not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I don't even know anything about being prophetic. And I'm not saying that. And I have never, over the years, when I give a word to this church, I have never tried to define it. I have only declared it. And I can see how the word revolution, remember, where we revolve around the throne of grace. We revolve around the headship of Christ. Amen. Jesus told us in Matthew 11:12, he says, from the days of John the Baptist until the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violent by, and the violent has taken it by force. That means that the church, the Christian, has seized it. The kingdom is a precious possession. We belong to the kingdom. We seek the kingdom of God first, amen, and his righteousness. So we're kingdom people. We're a small colony of citizens of heaven that are here right now. Now. And it means that we have to stand. And we're not going to bend. We're not going to yield. We're the church unashamed. And we are the church unafraid. Amen? And that's who we are. And we're going to stand for righteousness. We're going to do what? No one is going to tell us. I don't care who they are. I hope you're listening. I mean that with all my heart. We bend our knee to no man. We pray for all men. But I serve only one, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Pastor Bill will be back on Monday to begin the final message from his First Peter study, and we hope you'll join us once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, we want to thank you, as always, for listening to the broadcast. May the Lord bless you with a safe and restful weekend. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast,
please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.